Welcome back to the We're Going on a Trip podcast. This is your host, Marisol. I am so excited because on this episode of We're Going on a Trip, I'll be sharing all of my practical safety tips and advice I have for solo travelers. A lot of these tips also apply if you're going on a trip where you'll be staying in a hotel, Airbnb, or if you're staying in a new city or country that you're not as familiar with. I will be breaking the tips into three different segments. We will be talking about how to properly prep for the trip, what to do on arrival, and tips for what you should be doing throughout your trip. If you find this episode valuable, I hope you will share it with your friends so they are also in the know. Let's get into it. I wanted to make this one of the first episodes that I did post because I feel like when people think about solo travel, one of the biggest things that prevents them from going on a solo trip is safety, thinking about how they can prep and how to act when they are on a solo trip. So I hope that you will pick up some tips and you will have some reminders of things to do, but let's get into it. So you've decided on a location, you know where you want to go. One of the first things that I do is my research on the different neighborhoods. Let's say that I'm going to a specific city. I would look up all the different neighborhoods that are within that city and literally just within my search, what are the safest and what are the most dangerous neighborhoods in the city. For example, one of my last solo trips was to Paris. And so when I was looking for an accommodation, I Googled what are the best neighborhoods, what are the safest neighborhoods to stay in Paris, what are the neighborhoods to, you know, steer clear from. And so that just gives you kind of an understanding as to which neighborhoods you should be booking your accommodations in, and it could prevent you from, you know, staying somewhere that could be kind of sketchy or just not what you're looking for. So that's the first thing. Always Google the different neighborhoods and see which one would be the best fit for you. So you have a list of a handful of neighborhoods that you're looking to stay in. The next step here is to find out where you will be sleeping your accommodations and whether you're looking to stay in a hostel, a hotel, or an Airbnb. I have a few steps that I take to ensure that I am staying in the best place within my budget. And so you want to make sure that you don't get catfished and you show up to your hotel room thinking you have beachfront access and an ocean view, only to find out at check-in that the hotel is 4 miles away from the beach. So one of the first things I do when I'm doing my research is I read the reviews, and I feel like most people read the reviews, but you should be focusing on the most recent reviews. Just gloss over them, just quickly kind of just skim them, make sure that you're kind of just checking. Obviously, most hotels have a rating, but it's nice to get some honest and genuine feedback from previous people who stayed there. And if you're lucky, sometimes previous guests leave recommendations for restaurants, attractions, and activities nearby. So that's just a bonus tip there. If you specifically are booking a hotel, if you have a hotel in mind and you feel like you want to book that one, I would copy and paste the hotel name and search it up on Google. I find that most hotels don't only list on one specific website. They're often on all the different websites or on a few. And so if you're lucky, you know, you could read other reviews on different sites, and or sometimes if they offer the same amenities and they have a similar customer service if anything happens, sometimes some of them are cheaper on different sites. So that could be another way that you save a few dollars. And my last tip to ensure that you do not get catfished by a hotel or an Airbnb is if you have the address, search it up on Google Maps. Now that you have the address, you can quickly look at what's in the surrounding areas. But I think the biggest thing for me is I love a good street view. So if I have the address, I'll click on street view. And I know that some of the street view pictures are not as recent, but it just gives you kind of a picture as to what that street looks like. Are there a bunch of abandoned buildings on that street? Does it look kind of like run down? It just gives you a different perspective and a different outlook. So that could also be valuable. So as a last tip, quickly look them up on Google Maps, do a street view, and get a picture as to what the hotel looks like from the outside. Fast forward to your tickets being booked and your reservations made for your accommodations. These are a few quick reminders for what you should be doing a few days prior to your departure. You should always make sure that you at least have some money to take with you. This is either to exchange money to use abroad, and so you could exchange that money either at one of the kiosks that they have at the airports, where you could just quickly exchange what you have and they'll give you the currency of the country that you're visiting. And or if you think you can find a better rate, they're called exchange houses, and you can quickly and easily find them on maps. And so you just take your money and they'll just exchange it for you. And or if you would rather prep and just bring the currency that you need, my bank offers this. I feel like most banks do. You could call your local branch and ask them what they have on hand. I needed euros on my last Europe trip, and so I asked them, I let them know how much I needed. They let me know what they had on hand. If you need more, they'll order more for you and they'll let you know when they're ready. And so you just have the money that you need, so you're not scrambling at the end, worried about what you might not have. And so I recommend doing this a few days prior just to make sure that you're ready to go. While we're on the topic of money, if you're planning to bring a credit card or a debit card abroad, I would take a moment to either give my bank a call, and or some apps offer this feature, or you let them know that you'll be traveling internationally and you let them know that you will be making purchases in a different country. That way, if you use your card, they won't intercept or deny the purchase, and so it's not awkward when you're trying to use your card and it doesn't work, and or you're on the phone trying to let them know that you're somewhere else. And so I would definitely recommend that you do this a few days prior just to make sure that you're good to go and you can use all of your cards. Another important call that you'll have to make, especially if you're going somewhere your phone provider doesn't offer service, is a call to your phone provider. So essentially what you'll do is you'll give them a call, and or on some apps it gives you the option to let them know that you're traveling internationally. And so this makes sure that when you do get a new SIM card in whatever country that you're going, your phone doesn't block it. And so it usually takes between 24 and 72 hours for this to take effect. And so if you don't unlock your phone and you get to a country and you pop in a SIM card, it's not going to work. And sometimes, speaking from experience, it's a hot mess. I've forgotten in the past to call my phone provider, and it takes a while and I have no service, and or I just have to stay in places that have Wi-Fi to use my maps and or to send my messages. So make sure that a few days prior to your departure, you either call or let them know online that you need your phone unlocked for you to get a new SIM card, for you to have service abroad. You don't want to be stuck in a different country not having service or having to just use Wi-Fi. And to add to the SIM card, although some people do like to travel and just use Wi-Fi, it doesn't feel good, especially if you're traveling solo, to not know you'll have access to free Wi-Fi or a secure connection. So I highly recommend you just do your research, find out which phone companies have the different SIM cards, who's the most reliable, what the rates are, and just shop around. But definitely get a SIM card. That way you're not stuck somewhere. You don't have access to maps, or you can't send a message or whatever it might be because you don't have Wi-Fi. So I highly recommend that you do get a SIM card. So now that you have your SIM card and your phone is working properly, I always like to make note of what the emergency number is for whatever country I'm visiting. In the United States, it's 911, but that is not the case for every other country. So take a screenshot, write it down. What is the emergency number for the country I am visiting? Another important number and or address to take down, if you like to over-prepare like I do, is the nearest embassy. So obviously for immediate assistance, if it's an emergency, you call the emergency number first. If it's other things like you lost your passport and or safety, whatever it might be, something that your embassy might be able to help you with, they can provide guidance and or resources. They are literally there to assist the people from their country. And so use them. If you have any questions, whatever it might be, reach out to them. They're there to help. And last but not least, this is kind of a funny one that I personally like to do, is I like to either read on blogs and or watch YouTube videos on some of the common scams in that city and or country. For example, if someone approaches you and asks you to sign a fake petition or to make a donation to a charity you have literally no context about, just to distract you while someone tries to steal your belongings, I might be speaking from experience here. I have a feeling that almost happened to me and my friends when we went to Barcelona, but just be wary of your surroundings. Just look up common scams, and that way you're prepared if you see one. All right, here we go. Fast forward to your arrival at your destination. You have to find a way to make it to your hotel or Airbnb. You have a few options here depending on where you are traveling to. A lot of major cities, think New York City, Paris, London, Madrid, have a very extensive public transportation, and so they will get you very close to where you are likely staying. But if you prefer not to take public transport, you could also do a rideshare app. And so I very much like a rideshare app because I feel comfortable knowing that at my fingertips I have a few safety features just in case something fell off or weird, and I could also share my trip progress and details with someone I trust. And if a rideshare app is not an option, which in some places, especially very touristy places, funny if this actually happened to me, I arrived at the Cancun airport and I took out my phone to request a ride on this app, and it said that they did not offer service in this area because they were banned. And so the next best thing was to get a taxi. And so especially as a solo traveler, especially as a solo female traveler, you have to, you know, pick whatever is most convenient. And so for me, it's, you know, obviously there's different kiosks for different taxi companies that they offer. And so you can just shop around, see who has what type of vehicles. Obviously, if you're alone or if it's just one or two of you, you don't want to take a van, or unless you have a bunch of luggage or that's how you roll, because that could dramatically increase the price of how much your ride is going to be, obviously, in whatever vehicle that you will be in. So just make sure that you know and you communicate with the person what type of vehicle you'll be in, so that way you're not paying extra. Some airports do not offer these sorts of taxi kiosks inside. And so as a last resort, there are taxi drivers outside. I would never get into an unmarked car. I would have it just that, especially as a solo woman traveler, that just doesn't sound safe to me. So just go with the taxi driver, whoever you feel makes you feel most comfortable. Take a picture of the license plate. Even if it makes you feel awkward, take the picture and share it with someone you trust. Hopefully you're communicating with someone alive in real time who might be awake, whatever, you know, the time difference might be, who you can share it with and share updates on the ride. Another thing that I do is whenever I hop into a taxi and or like an Uber, I grab my phone and I put it close to my mouth and I act like I'm sending a voice, like message. And so I say, hey, I'm on my way. Be there in X minutes. Hey, I'm actually on my way. I'm in X car. You'll be outside, right? Those sorts of things, just to let the person who's driving you know that you, someone's expecting you. So you made it to your Airbnb or your hotel. One of the first things that I would do after I check in is to just scan the room, scan the property, make sure that nothing seems out of the ordinary, all the doors and windows open and close properly. So we finally got to the point where you're excited to be on your vacation, you're excited to be on your trip, and here are a few of my top tips of things to do throughout your trip to stay safe. One of the biggest things is a no-brainer. You should be sharing your location with the few people that you trust. This gives them the ability to check where you are and check if you are within the region or the city that you were planning to be in that day. And if you do have an itinerary, even if it's a skeleton of an itinerary, like on my first day, I'm going to the beach. On the second day, I'm going to museums. On the third day, I'm going shopping. It just gives someone else an idea of what you could be doing and to just check in on you. It's nice to know that someone else is checking in on you and you're not the only person in charge of your safety. Another thing that I would recommend is to not carry all of your cash or to stash it in one place. If possible, put your money in different pockets, wallets, or even places in your hotel where you won't forget you put them there. Obviously, you want to stash a bunch of money in a place and then a week after you get back from your trip, you're like, oh my God, I left X amount of money. Also, if possible, this is something I do, is I try to estimate how much money I will be spending that day. Obviously, give yourself a little cushion for some extra, you know, spending cash and or bring your cards to use them. But that means that I don't have all of my money with me. And so just in case I leave my bag in the metro or on a park bench or whatever have you, I didn't lose all my money. So that's something that I like to do. Another thing I recommend is to, although I know that on a trip and on vacation, I like to put nice outfits together for pictures or for memory's sake, try to dress to blend in to a certain extent. Obviously, don't go to crowded places with really flashy accessories like jewelry, watches, fancy camera gear, holding your iPhone in your hand, that sort of thing. Also, if you will be sharing pictures or videos on social media, especially on stories, do not share them in real time. Even on my personal account where it is private, I post all of my pictures and stories after I have already left the place. Especially if your social media is public, if you tag the story or picture with the location, anyone could easily access those tagged pictures. So I highly recommend post all of your pictures after you've already left that spot, that location, especially if you are solo. And last, and possibly my biggest tip of all, is to just trust your instinct. If a situation feels weird or it's kind of suspicious, try to find the most discreet way to leave the situation. If it's an emergency and you need immediate assistance, don't be shy about making a lot of noise to alert others. But if it's kind of sus and you're not feeling it, try and just to like discreetly either call a cab, call an Uber, whatever you have to do to leave the situation. If you're uncomfortable, do it. And to finish off this episode, I thought it would be useful to give you a few items that I pack when I solo travel. One of the main ones being an additional door lock. Just Google additional door locks and you should be able to find one easily online. This additional lock provides you not only peace of mind at night while you are sleeping, but during the day when you are in your room. This makes it harder for an intruder or a random person who might mistake your door for theirs. Even if someone has a key to your room with the lock, which locks from within, it provides additional security so that no one can open the door, or it makes it very difficult. Another thing, obviously you have to do your research, but is pepper spray. Some places, especially if you are traveling on an airplane, you might not be able to travel with this. But just, you know, do your research. If you can bring pepper spray, if that makes you feel comfortable, bring it. And this is my last item. It is small and discreet, but it packs a punch. If you can, bring a small whistle and throw it in your bag or your backpack or one of those devices that makes a lot of noise when you turn it on. Because we all react to situations differently. And if you can't use your words to scream for help, if you need to, you know, if it's an emergency, use a whistle or use one of those little devices to alert others to make sure that people know that you need help. Thank you so much for making it to the end of this episode. I hope some of these tips were useful reminders and you learned a few new ones to use on your next trip. If you found this episode useful, please share it with your friends and loved ones to make sure that we are all aware of some of the easy things we can do to ensure we have a safe trip. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate the podcast. You can find me on all social media sites at We're Going On A Trip Podcast. I'll be posting an infographic on my Instagram soon with a little recap of some of the things we talked about for you to share with your friends. But I am so thankful that you tuned in this week, and I hope to see you next week.